Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to H10. It's been a while. It's been like 2 weeks since we've been with you. I'm T-Ray, your host. Today is October the 25th, 2015. With me, as always, my faithful sidekick.
Yep, the Wizzo's here.
Hey, good to see you again. Good to hear you again, Wizzo. How are things going out your way? Anything new?
Yeah, likewise, man. It's good to see you. Good to talk to you again. You know, work has been busy, hanging out with the family. Getting some college work done and then watching the Blue Jays lose. Oh, but, you know,
hey man,
it's been good. It's been good. You know, quick 2 weeks, I'll tell you that. So besides the Blue Jays, what's going on in your world over there?
Well, okay. Let me just touch on the Blue Jays real quick then. Yeah. I mean, it was sad to see them go down the way they did, especially, I don't know if you caught the last game, but Bautista had an incredible game with 2 home runs and, you know, tied the game up for them late in the game. And then they gave up a run in the bottom of the eighth and couldn't scrape together a run in the top of the ninth. They kind of looked like the Tigers out there. You know, they had the runners on second and third with one out and they couldn't bring one home. Anyways, that's over and I'm probably not going to watch the World Series. How about you? You plan on watching the KC Royals and the New York Mets?
No, I'm watching the Steelers. That's it. Football for me.
There you go. Yep, for sure. For sure, man. Yeah. Well, hey, I don't know if you guys out there know this or if you know this, Wizzo, but the Hanshin Tigers put out an ad last week. They're looking for an interpreter for their Gaijin players. I guess the guy that they had this past season stepped down or whatever. And so I was looking at it. I was like, hey, that sounds really cool, man. I mean, you know, sitting beside Randy Messenger, sitting beside Matt Merton or the next Matt Merton or whatever. But I actually thought about it and I was like, you know what? They probably have really long work days and they probably have, you know, long road trips they have to go out on. And I was like, you know what? I love my family and, you know, my job right now really spoils me and allows me to spend a lot of time with my family. And I just can't imagine taking on a job where I'd be on the road. You know, we're talking at least 3 months of the year that I would be spending the night away from my family. So right now, you know, with my son being 2 years old, I just kind of feel like this is not the right season for this. So I'm going to bypass it.
Wow. That, you know, that's a demanding job. That's it. That's demanding, you know, and luckily you're up near that area. I mean, you'd have to probably look at how many times you're going to be home vice, how many times you're actually going to be gone. But wow, that would be an amazing job to be sitting there and just, you're on TV. You could wear the H10 t-shirt. I mean, something, you know, but wow, that, you know, you're making the right decision. I mean, family's got to come first, and if they're going to be buried, then yeah, you might not want to put yourself in that position.
Yeah, certainly. So I'll leave it to somebody else who's willing to spend that much time sitting beside the ball players and away from their families or away from home. That's cool. All right, Wizzo, let's move on with tonight's show. And on today's menu, we've got the following. We're going to talk about the brand new Hanshin Tigers manager, as well as the new coaching staff, at least the ones that have been named so far. We're going to look at which players have stepped down or been cut. We're going to look at which players are leaving the organization and which ones are sticking around with the organization. And then we want to talk a little bit about the draft, which went down this past Thursday. How did the Tigers do? Who did they get? And so on and so forth. And if we have time, we'll go into some other stuff. If not, that'll be a wrap and we'll come back another day. Stick around. We'll be right back with you in just a few. So, ladies and gentlemen, and Wizzo, the Hanshin Tigers have got themselves a new manager. Bye-bye, Mr. Wada. Hello, Mr. Tomoaki Kanemoto. What do you think, Wizzo?
I like it. I read a lot of different newspapers, and a lot of them say the same thing. To me, he's hard-nosed, he's strict, and which is great. I read some of the things about him, and I could see a lot of me because I'm strict, by the book. I want things to be a certain way. And really, that's what this team needs, a little bit of discipline, someone to keep them focused, and someone to teach them at the same time. You know, hey, you have this problem. Let's work on this. So I'm liking what I hear so far, and it's going to come to spring training where we actually start to see some of those things, you know, develop. But I'm excited for it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, actually, it's already kind of started because, you know, the players, some of them are in fall camp right now, and Kanemoto made his first appearance at Koshien on the field, coaching some of the guys a little bit just in the past couple days. Let's back up a little bit, and just for the folks that maybe aren't familiar with who Kanemoto is, Kanemoto is a former Hanshin Tiger, much like Yuta Kawada was. But Kanemoto played for the team back in, I think he joined the team in 2003, and he retired at the end of 2012, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was a bit before that. But he's an Ironman. He's got the all-time world record for consecutive innings played. Not consecutive games, but consecutive innings. And it's over 1,400 games worth of full innings. So he was a very beloved player for the Hanshin Tigers. Before that, he played for the Hiroshima Carp for a number of years as well. But his nickname when he was a player amongst fans was Aniki, which means big brother. And, you know, the players kind of felt the same way about him. He was kind of the big brother, but he's kind of a tough guy. So nobody actually called him Aniki on the bench or anything like that, but he definitely had that kind of presence. And so now he's back. He's 47 years old. He's new coach, first time manager, first time coach for that matter. And actually with all the new hirings in the CL as far as managers go, I don't know if you knew this, Wizzo, but Kanemoto is actually the oldest manager in the CL because the Giants went young, Hara stepped down, and Takahashi, who played up until this year, stepped in as manager. He's 40 years old. And then with the DeNA Bay Stars, we got what was the guy's name? Hatanaka, I think. He stepped down or got fired or whatever, and they got Ramirez coming in. He's 41 years old. So we've got the oldest manager at age 47, but that's still pretty young.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, if you look at his stats, some of his best years were with Hanshin. And that's a great sign because this guy knows the team, he knows the environment, and Iron Man, it wasn't like he just woke up and they were like, hey, let's call this guy Iron Man. You know, he earned that. He earned everything he's got. So he might be older, but probably wiser. And, you know, a lot of good knowledge for these guys to learn from, you know, hitting, catching. I think he's going to be a huge help for this team for next year.
So here's the one knock on him. Actually, I've got two, and they're more concerns than they are knocks. The first one is that Kanemoto played the outfield. And as far as NPB goes, you know, Katsuya Nomura, who is one of the most successful catchers as well as managers in the history of NPB, once said, there has never been a good manager who came from the outfield position. And I can kind of see his point because the outfielders miss a lot of what goes on the field. You know, the catcher can see everything all the time when he's playing. And then the infielders get to, you know, come to the pitcher's mound during the conferences. Like if a manager comes out and talks to the pitcher, the infielders are there. But the outfielders don't get in on a lot of that stuff. And so there's a bit of a concern there with me. That's the one concern that I have. I don't know if you think anything about that.
Not so much. I mean, he played a lot of innings. He's been involved, I'm sure, with mound visits at some point, you know, in the dugout talking. So I think what he missed out on, what we see him missing out on, I think is probably something he caught up on in the dugout.
Well, I certainly hope so. And the second concern I have, and actually let's jump into this right now anyways. Kanemoto talked a lot during his press conference when he was inaugurated about wanting the players to swing for the fences a lot more, or to, you know, to swing the bat harder. He's saying, you know, we need to develop sluggers. We need to, you know, we need to get our bats to do a lot more. And I'm all for that. But the one concern I have is if he's developing too many of these guys that are going to be sluggers, you know, we're still playing at Koshien. You know, it's not a home run hitter's park. And so I kind of wonder if we're going to get a lot of warning track fly balls and a lot of strikeouts as a result of the strategy of swinging hard and swinging for the fences. I really hope we get a lot more power and stuff like that. But my concern is, you know, our team averages might go down and we may not get as much power as he hopes for. So you know, I like the idea of definitely being more aggressive, but my concern is just that it may end up backfiring in a sense.
Yeah, you're right. To see that side of the, to see that side, he mentioned a name, actually two names, and the one surprised me more than the other. I know he mentioned three names. Two, one, he said Ego Shi, and I was like, holy cow, Ego Shi? The second one was Yokota, which I don't believe I've seen Yokota play. So developing them into, let's say, power hitters? I don't know. Ego Shi has hit some home runs, but it's going to take him time. I've never seen Yokota play. The third person I don't remember seeing much of either. So as long as he develops them to hit the ball well, hopefully he's getting them to hit the ball well, not necessarily hit for the, you know, swing for the fences. Leave that up to Gomez or, you know, whatever foreigner, or Fukudome, whoever comes in and fills those gaps, you know.
Right. Well, he's definitely looking for these guys to hit home runs and hit for power. I mean, that's what he was talking about. Yeah, he actually, the reason you haven't seen Yokota or Yokawa is because they didn't play any games up on the parent club this year. In fact, I don't think they ever have. Yokota is still, I think, 20 years old. So they drafted him out of high school a couple of years ago. And Yokawa is not much older than that. So they're both really young guys. They are both kind of potential power hitters. So yeah, he mentioned them too, and Ego Shi, who hit 5 home runs. But 16 of his 36 hits last season were extra base hits. So, you know, this is a guy that definitely has the potential to hit for power, which is really exciting.
Yeah, maybe that's why my daughter likes him. She's watching him play. Ah, Ego Shi! All right. Maybe he will turn into something. You never know. If he does, that's great. He's young, and if he develops this year and, you know, the year after that, if he continues to improve, you know, hey, that's great for this team in the long run, you know?
Heck yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that Kanemoto feels, and I've heard this from a lot of other people too, is they want to develop a cleanup hitter within, you know, the players they draft and not always depending on a big import to hit all the home runs and stuff like that, which is great. I mean, Gomez is here, you know, and he's done a decent job in the last couple of years, but this is a team that has always focused too much on or depended too much on the foreigners that they bring in. And so when they bring in great foreigners, the team seems to do well. When they bring in not so great foreigners, the team struggles, and that's really not a recipe for success. So yeah, I like the idea of developing, you know, Japanese sluggers, and I hope that goes well. My concern is just that in 2016, it may not go so well. And I hear a lot of people, you know, thinking, okay, we're going to contend for the pennant in 2016. Quite honestly, I don't think we will. But I also don't expect us to. I'd like to see us contend for the pennant in 2017 or 18, but then be able to do so for 5 straight years or 10 straight years, or, you know what I mean? Like long term, as opposed to turning the team around in 1 year.
Yeah. I see your point there. You know, I think the Tiger fan base is like, now, you know, where's the title now? You know what I mean? It's like, it's great that, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to be, you know, spectacular or whatever, but what's going on now? What are you going to do for me now? So,
it's a hilarious mindset for a fan base that has only experienced the championship once in 80 years. But you know, you're right. You're definitely right. I mean, it is something that they all think, you know, they want wins now. They don't want, you know, a rebuilding process or whatever. And so that was one of the things Kanemoto mentioned in his press conference too, though, is he said, I want to win as I rebuild this team. And he also understands that's going to be a huge challenge, which obviously it will be, right? So let's see how he does. But Wizzo, you know, he's got a whole new coaching staff. And it was interesting because the old coaching staff pretty much stepped down within a couple of days before the team announced Kanemoto's hiring. So it's almost like, you know, their stepping down was conditional on him joining, or, you know, I'm not really sure the exact order of how things went. But clearly, you know, there is an intent there of saying when we bring in Kanemoto, we're bringing in a new coaching staff. And so we've got a few guys that are sticking around. We've got Takashiro, who is moving from being the infield and base running coach to now he's going to be head coach this coming year. And we've got Hirata, who was head coach last year. He is going to be moving to being the chief, I'm not exactly sure what chief means, but also he's going to be the base running and defensive coach. But we've got new guys. We've got Akihiro Yano, who's a former catcher for many years, and he will be the battery coach, so the pitching catching coach. And then we've got Atsushi Kataoka, who's going to be coming in as the hitting coach. He's a new guy as well. And then on the farm team, this is pretty exciting. Did you hear about the new manager for the farm team, Wizzo?
No, I haven't heard.
The legend.
Farm team.
Masayuki Kakefu, who was teammates with Randy Bass and Akinobu Okada. He was, you know, part of the big three, the cleaning lineup they had. And Kakefu has been away from the organization as far as being an employee for a number of years, and they finally brought him back in. And so people are really excited. Last year, he was the hitting and development coordinator for the farm team, or for the development players. And this year, he's going to be the farm team manager. So that's pretty exciting. And then along with that, they also just announced Keiichi Hirano, who just retired from the Oryx Buffaloes and is a former Hanshin Tiger. He's joining the farm coaching staff as well. So we've got a bunch of these new guys in. Any impressions about that, Wizzo?
First time hearing it about the farm. I don't know. I missed that one. You know, whatever is going to benefit this team, you know, I'm a Pirate fan back in the States, and oh boy, we had our fair share of coaches after Jim Leland left, and they didn't pan out until we got Clint McHurdle. Clint Hurdle, I mean. So
there you go.
You know, it's whatever's going to help this team. But as far as the coaching staff goes, you hear good names. Just hope they can turn into good players. I mean, good coaches. So fingers crossed.
That's just it. That's just it. A lot of these guys were great players, and we don't know how they're going to pan out as coaches. My concern is I feel like the Hanshin Tigers, you know, until this year, have really been digging into the 1985 well to get their coaching staff, you know, and every manager, it seems, in the past decade has been from that class of 1985, the championship year, and even the staff below them has been. And now it just seems like we're graduating from that to the class of 2003 and 2005, because Kanemoto was part of those pennant-winning teams. So was Yano. So was Kataoka. And there's talk of Shimo Yanagi coming in. There was talk of Akahoshi coming in, but he turned it down as well. So it looks like they're just kind of digging into the new class. And I kind of think, like, is that all this is? Is it just a changing the guard from 85 to 2003, 2005? You know, are we going to bring in any outside talent or outside, you know, new thoughts, new strategies from another organization or from a different standpoint? And I kind of feel like that might better the team. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm happy to see Yano on the coaching staff, and I'm happy to see that some of these great players are going to have a chance to impart their wisdom to the new players. But I just don't know if sticking to, you know, former Tiger greats all the time is a recipe for success or not.
Maybe not. If there's one thing that I hope they do bring is energy. You know, I believe Kanemoto was saying something about this team didn't look like they had a desire to finish out the games or had a desire to win the games. And I'll tell you, if they bring back just a little bit of energy to that team and at least, like, look energized, then they're taking a step in the right direction. You know, you got to take baby steps sometimes with the new people that you get. So that's all we can hope for. Baby steps and a little bit of energy, you know, put back into this team, you know, motivation, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I honestly don't mind if 2016 is just kind of a trial and error year where Kanemoto, as well as the coaching staff, make mistakes and learn from the mistakes. As long as they do that and they bring a better game forward in 2017, better strategies and so on, great. I mean, if they're just lighting the fire this year and they're giving these players new life and new motivation, to me, that's a big enough change for 2016.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Okay, let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about some of the players that are leaving the organization or likely to leave the organization. So I'm going to give you kind of the rundown of who's retired and who's been cut. And if you have any comments about any of them or anything like that, that's, great. We'll start with the first two that we knew even before the season ended. So Kentaro Sekimoto, as we even mentioned in our last podcast, he's retired after 19 years of service with the team. And along with him, a former relief pitcher who spent most of this past year on the farm, Ryo Watanabe, also retired. And he'd been with the team for a number of years as well. So they left, and then a couple of days after the season ended, our oldest catcher, Akihito Fuji, also announced his retirement. So he's gone. And then we cut some of the players. We said we're not offering them contracts next year. And those include relief pitchers Kosuke Kato, Yutaka Tamaki, and then infielder Haruki Kurose, as well as outfielder Kenichi Tagami. So those are the guys that are no longer on the roster, and there may be more that are also leaving, but anything to say about any of those guys, Wizzo?
No, I mean, Fuji obviously had a lot of experience, you know, being a catcher, so I think he's going to be Sekimoto, good player. But Fuji, hopefully a lot of him rubbed off on Umeno, you know, knowledge-wise, so nothing more you can do. I mean, he's the oldest player on the team, so his time was coming.
Yeah, my only concern with Fuji, and actually he's the only one I really want to talk about in detail here as well, is he was Randy Messenger's favorite catcher. Messenger actually said, as he left Japan, or at least this is the quote I got in an article, "Fuji is the best catcher I've ever had in my pitching career." So it kind of just makes me wonder what's going to happen next year with Messenger. Are they going to pass it on to Tsuruoka, or are they going to go to Umeno, or are they going to give it to somebody else? And are they going to mesh with Messenger the same way that Fuji did? And are we going to see the same Randy Messenger in 2016 and beyond or not? That's my big concern. And, you can talk all you want about Fuji's lack of hitting or his lack of speed or his lack of whatever. But the fact that he alone was responsible for our ace pitcher, and he satisfied our ace pitcher, and to see him leave then, that creates a big gap in the roster, and hopefully we'll be able to fill it in some way.
Yeah, that is a huge gap. You're right. The relationship that him and Messenger had was, match made in heaven, so to speak. And now that he's gone, yeah, who's going to be the one that Messenger is comfortable enough to go to and say, "Hey, look, you and I, we're calling the game." I think Umeno is too young, and I think Tsuruoka might be that one to step up and, take that for most of the years. I don't know, but
I personally hope it's Umeno, but, that remains to be seen. And, it also depends on who Randy feels more comfortable with. So we'll see next spring, I think,
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's kind of continue in the same vein and just talk about players that are likely to be leaving, because there are two significant players that we are quite likely to have seen the last of. And one, pardon the lowballing here or whatever, but one slightly insignificant player, and that is Mario Santiago, the import that we signed last spring. And he actually took Randy Messenger's place on the roster just for, I think, 3 starts in May when Randy was sent down to the farm. Santiago apparently has left the country, and he's also left the club. On his way out, he said, "Thank you for giving me this opportunity." And so he's gone. I don't think he's going to be missed that much, simply because I don't think he had a huge impact either on the top team or on the farm team. So he's gone. But along with that, 2 other imports are either rumored to be gone or are definitely gone or whatever. So we'll talk about these one by one. And we'll start with Matt Merton. I don't know if you've been reading articles or whatever, or just hearing the rumors, but, it just sounds like Matt Merton's time with the team is over. The team has not offered him another contract. It seems like they're saying, "We want to step in a different direction. We want to restart the team, rebuild the team." And so it looks like they're not offering him a contract. And so, 6 great years, 1,000 plus hits, a 310 average over 6 seasons. Definitely big shoes to fill. But what do you think, Wizzo? Are you Are you disappointed and sad to see Merton gone, or do you really hope against hope that he's coming back, or where are you at?
Well, I've called him the face of Hanshin before, just because, you know, I felt he earned it. You know, he was a player that came in, made an impact. However, man, just watching him this last year, I think that's why he's not offered a contract. I mean, you know, argue with the umpires, you know, making a scene in the dugouts. I mean, he was on the front of the newspaper that one time. You know, he's like throwing his gloves down. I think he just worked his way out of there. And of course, this is after he knew, hey, this is my last year with the team. And maybe the people coming in now are like, yeah, we saw what he did last year, and that's why we don't want to offer him a contract. I don't know. But I would always like to see him come back, but seeing him trotting to first and trotting in left field, I think he just kind of worked his way out of this team.
So I'm going to kind of disagree with you in a sense. Like, I know what you're saying, and I can see your perspective, but, you know, he also said that he kind of felt like the team was not offering him anything beyond 2015, and he kind of felt that way right from the start of the year. And I don't know how things work. I mean, you know, maybe in 2014 when they signed that contract with him, they told him in 2014, hey, look, man, like, we want to bring you back for 2014 and beyond, but we're just signing you to 1 year for now. And maybe when they signed him in 2015, they didn't say that. And so, you know, maybe that's something that every year he'd been hearing, and now all of a sudden he didn't. And so, you know, like he said in, or he was quoted as saying, I came into 2015 with the feeling that this was my last year with the Tigers. So that might have been the cause rather than the reason for him not hustling on the field, if that makes sense. And I don't know, you know, I can't defend the guy's lack of hustle or what looked like a lack of hustle. But like I'd even mentioned to you, I think on the Facebook page too, you know, he might have been hiding a leg injury all year that we just don't know about. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff, man. There's also stuff we don't know. But just to give my opinion straight up, I would love to see Merton back with the team. I don't know if left field is the right place for him, and I don't know if batting fifth is the right place for him. But I think a guy of that caliber, a guy of that natural ability, and a guy with that much of a good work ethic deserves more than what he got as far as the way that he's parting with the team. Because, you know, if you look at his work ethic over the years, I'm not just talking about his hustle to first base or whatever. I'm talking about, you know, sitting in the dugout and making notes about every pitcher that he faces, and, you know, showing up for practice earlier than other people, and, you know, stretching for longer than other people, and, you know, all sorts of stuff. I've heard all sorts of stories about how hardworking he is. And beyond that, I mean, just the way that he treats the fans, and I know this firsthand, but I've also heard it from a lot of people. He's definitely a fan favorite, and I mean, the fans love having him on the team, so I'd love to have him back. But I also understand the team's decision to move on and to try and go maybe younger, or to try and go with somebody that brings a different set of skills to the team. So, yeah, that's really unfortunate, but I'm ready to move on. It's sad, but I'm ready.
Yeah, you know, I would like to see him back. I didn't buy the American flag to go to Koscheng for Randy Messenger. You know, I bought it for Merton, you know, because, hey, I like seeing, you know, Americans representing America in Japan. It's great, you know. So hopefully he comes back, but unfortunately we're not sitting at his dinner table talking about, hey, so what happened to you this season? You know, we just got to move on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, hey, let's move on to another flag of yours that you bought, or one that you like to post, at least on the Facebook page. And our closer of the last 2 years, Seung-Hwan Oh, has been rumored to be drawing a lot of interest from Major League Baseball clubs. And I know even like last offseason, there was talk that his dream or his goal was to move on to the major leagues. And so it's looking more and more likely like he'll be moving on to the majors. But what do you think, Wizzo? I know that that's got to be one of the saddest things you've ever heard, because you might even have to change your handle, you know, your Twitter name, all that kind of stuff. What's going through your mind and your heart right now, buddy? Need a shoulder to cry on?
Oh, man. You know, I like you know, the only thing is, it's funny. I mean, I read a lot of sports newspapers, and I haven't read anything where it says, hey, this team is interested in, you know, Korean import, you know, Sungwan Oh. I haven't read anything. So I take it with a grain of salt. I understand his dream. You know, hey, I want to play in majors. I think everybody's dream is at one point in their baseball career to play in America. But, you know, all they got to do is look at this 1 year, man. 8-0 to an 8-8 tie. You look at that one game.
That wasn't him. That wasn't him, man.
That was him. That.
No, it wasn't, bro.
Okay, 8-0 to 8-8?
Yeah.
Let's just say he gave up 4 runs in a game. It don't matter.
Yes, he did.
He's blown, or is 8-4 to 8-8, one of the two. But he's blown games where people in the States are going to look at him going, yeah, man, I don't know if we want this guy on our team. And that's based off 1 year. And, you know, if you're looking at teams like the Blue Jays, the Royals, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, you know, with the kind of season they had, whether good or near the World Series, I don't know if I want a closer coming in who gives up 4 runs or has a humongous lead and blows it. You know, as much as I support Oh, he's recovered from that, but that one game could cost him everything. So, man, I don't know. I'd hate to see him leave, but we'll see.
Well, number one, I don't think he's necessarily saying, if I go to the majors, I must be a closer. I think he'd be willing to go there as a setup man. I think there's lots of demand for a player of his skill set. You know, I think he could definitely make it as a setup guy in the major leagues. I actually just sent you a link to an English article about him moving on to the majors. So if you want to read that maybe during the week, you can check that out. Anyways, I personally am willing to let him go. I don't think he is the closer of the future for this team. And so even if we were to keep him, it might just be for one more year. And then it's time really to either develop one of our guys into a closer or sign somebody else to close things out. Because I just think that his skills are slightly deteriorating. His velocity is slightly down and so on and so forth. So, you know, I think he's done an admirable job over the last 2 seasons, but I'm okay with him leaving.
Yeah, if he goes, he goes. Don't want to see him go. I'm not going to change my Twitter handle. It's still at Wizzo, O-H at the end. everything will remain the same. But yeah, I mean, we were talking before, like Nomi and Iwata being in the bullpen. That's That actually didn't sound bad having Nomi in the bullpen. So you never know. But you're right, developing somebody that we currently have into a closer, finding a good closer, I'll take either one if O happens to leave.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about this in future shows, but I definitely see a couple of our young relievers as being potential closers, or certainly being able to anchor the bullpen a lot better than they did this year, or a lot better than some of our other players did this year. So, but we'll definitely talk about that as the offseason progresses and we see who the team signs, who the team re-signs, who else they release, and so on and so forth. But let's move on now to some of the guys that we know are going to be back for next year, as far as guys that were free agents or whatever. And the two big ones I want to talk about are Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who has been confirmed as someone who is coming back to the team. There was talk of him leaving because he was eligible to be a free agent, but he decided to not take up that right that he had, and he's going to come back to the Tigers for lower pay this season. What do you think about that, Wizzo?
I never saw Nishioka until this year actually play, but he brings a lot of excitement. Everybody's excited to see Nishioka. It's like, holy cow, man. Is this guy really that good? Pinch hitter or not, I mean, shoot, all he's got to do is get up there and just get a couple hits, you know, and that's great. If we could bring him back, experience, base hits, those will eventually equal runs for us. So I'd be excited to have him back.
So he's a guy that, if you look at his career path, he had a few really strong years when he played with Chiba Lotte Marines before he moved to the major leagues, especially his 2010 season was, you know, I don't want to go as far as to say historical, but it certainly was a great season. And there's always been the hope that he's going to find that magic again. And he may not ever find those numbers again, but certainly, you know, being injured for much of 2014 and much of 2015 has dropped his stock value. And I know that he feels like he's got something to prove, and he also feels like he owes the Hanshin organization a little bit more than he's given in the last couple of years. And I think that's one of the reasons he's coming back for less money. And I welcome him back. I really hope that he's able to stay healthier than he has in the past 2 years. But my concern now is, A, how do we keep him healthy? And B, where do we stick him in the field? Because I don't think he's best served as just being a pinch hitter. But at the same time, we've kind of got a bit of a logjam all throughout our infield. And so, and we'll talk about that in future episodes for sure. But I'm glad to have him back because he's definitely a mood maker. He's definitely a guy that is going to lift the spirits of the guys on the bench. And I don't know if you've ever seen this when he does play in the infield, but when a pitcher needs that little break when he's just, you know, been hit a couple times in a row, Nishioka is the first guy to go to the mound. And he always seems to know what to say to the pitcher, whether it's, you know, giving the guy a stern word or whether it's saying, hey, man, shake it off, or whether it's telling him a joke that will keep his mind off of what's going on or whatever. So I love what Nishioka brings the team, and I really hope that he can bring more of it in 2016 and beyond. The next guy I want to talk about is Mauro Gomez. And it seemed for a while, at least based on media reports, like it was unlikely that he would be coming back for next season. But quite recently, it's kind of gone the other way. Things have swayed completely in the other direction, and almost seems like it's more likely that Gomez will be back in 2016, and that definitely Kanemoto is going to count on him to bring a lot more power and a lot more offense to the team, and Kanemoto really wants to work with Gomez on that part of his game. So what do you think about Gomez coming back in 2016? We've talked about it in the past, and I know I had said, like, hey, let him go, but what do you think, man?
Bring him. I think a few of us on the Facebook page, I know you and I on here, said if we bring him back, it's for less money. You know, I think Gomez just, he's one of those guys that just, he needs to have somebody tell him to, hey, focus, man, focus, focus. You know, we heard the drone, you know, playing with the, at the batting practice with the drone. And, you know, there's times where he's knocking the ball out of the park, and then there he is dipping his shoulder, probably taking a big step, you know, swinging under and striking out like it's cool. If somebody could get him refocused and say, hey, man, you better be serious. None of this, you know, fooling around crap. Let's get this done. I think he'll be a serious threat. I mean, he was the RBI king at one point. So I think we can bring him back to those times with somebody who can keep him focused. And if Kanemoto is the way he is, I think he'll be the one to keep him focused. So I think it's good to have him back.
Yeah. Well, you know, the more I look at his numbers and the more I think about Gomez just as a player, you know, one quick look at the numbers says major regression. But on the other hand, there are some positives if you look at the difference between his 2014 and 2015 numbers. He actually increased his walks despite having fewer at-bats in 2015. He struck out actually 32 fewer times in 2015. So even if there's complaints about him striking out a lot, I mean, that's the thing about sluggers is that, you know, with the big bombs also come a lot of big whiffs. And so that's part of his game. And, you know, I don't think that him whiffing is showing a lack of focus so much as it is maybe a lack of discernment on some pitches or just being a real sucker for some pitches. And I hope that Kanemoto and the hitting staff, you know, they can help him with that problem. I don't think it's going to go away completely. I mean, he's never going to get under 100 Ks in a season, no matter how long he stays here. But, I mean, I'll take 130 Ks if he's going to bring us 30 bombs. This past season, though, he only brought 17. So that's the concern that I've got there. It's just that the power kind of went down a little bit in 2015. But yeah, maybe Kanemoto's the guy to bring it back. And certainly, you know, given the Tigers' track record of bringing in imports and several bad imports, I just, you know, the prospect of them letting Merton and Gomez go and bringing in two new import hitters, if that's the direction they go. I just think that's kind of risky business, and I don't think it bodes well for the team. So, yeah, hang on to one of them. And, I mean, if you're that insistent on letting Burton go, then you hang on to Gomez. Because, like somebody else on the Facebook page was saying, you know, if he brings us numbers somewhat in between his 2014 and 2015 numbers, that's still pretty good. So we'll take it. Welcome back, Gomez. I look forward to a great 2016 with you.
Yeah, I agree. Risky business is probably the best way of saying it, because getting rid of Merton and Gomez, whew, oh boy, that's a huge chunk, you know, of talent that got you to the championship series, you know, the year last year, you know. So get rid of both of those guys, you know, maybe they just said we got to get rid of one and made the decision. So, yeah, it'd be good to have Gomez back if all goes well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Another note, just real quick, on the import side, it looks like Nelson Perez will be back for 2016 as well, but he's probably going to be primarily on the farm. And, you know, like, if he excels there, he may get called up, but I don't think they're looking at him to be on the parent club the whole year just yet. I think he's still in development, so let's see how Perez does, and, you know, hopefully he can make a little bit more noise as well. All right, let's now move on to just some real quick news clip. So we'll start with Shintaro Fujinami, who was named to the Premium 12 team, which is kind of the All-Japan team. There's, you know, a tournament coming up. I think it's next month. And he was the lone Tiger selection on the team. But he's actually pulled out of that roster spot because of a shoulder injury. I don't know if you heard about that, Wizzo, but he said his shoulder's been hurting him since September, and he's going to stop throwing at least until the start of 2016. So he's not going to be in the tournament. He's just going to be resting. I'm a little bit concerned, to be honest with you. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. When I read that, I was like rubbing my eyes, hoping I didn't see what I saw. I mean, if you put a young guy out there for 152 pitches in one game, you know, and we've seen him in there longer than he should have been in there, this kind of stuff is what a lot of us were fearing would happen. Is like, oh man, this guy's going to get, you know, Tommy John surgery on his elbow or some kind of shoulder problem. And here we are, you know, and I've had shoulder pain for years, and it's very tough to go away, you know, just from lifting weights and, you know, being active. So I can't imagine the kind of pain he's getting. And if it's long-term, man, I hope it's not. I really hope it's not. But taking the break until spring training or whenever he feels he's ready, great move. Ice it.
Yeah. Here's to hoping that's the right medicine, the right, you know, cure to the problem. All right. Next on the agenda actually is Randy Messenger, who left Japan very soon after the season ended. But as he left, he kind of hinted that he should be the opening day starter in 2016. You know, he's got the track record to show it. And, you know, it's good to see that he's hungry to be the main guy on the team. What do you think, man?
Well, we got our big three outside of Fujinami. You know, we got Iwata, we got Messenger, and we got Nomi. To me, I mean, Messenger is, I mean, his presence alone. I mean, the dude is like 6'6", like 240. So that tells you enough right there that he's a presence. He's a good, very good pitcher. He worked hard to overcome the pitching problems that he had early in the year. So, you know, why not? It's not going to hurt us. I mean, it's not like he's going to go out there and give up six home runs. And, you know, I highly doubt it. I'd put him on the mound for the opening game. Hey, there you go. Unless there's some like Japanese law or tradition where it says no Americans will start an opening game. But highly doubt that. So I'd throw him on the mound. Sure, why not? He's earned it over the years. He's worked hard to get to where he's at right now.
He has opened the season twice for the Tigers already. So if he does it a third time, he'll be the first import to ever throw three openers for the Tigers. I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that they're going to give it to Fujinami because, you know, they're talking about moving the team in a new direction or starting things up, you know, bringing in the youth and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, there seems to be a big emphasis on the Japanese. You know, and I'm not going to call the racist card or anything like that, but I just understand that there is that kind of bias in Japanese baseball where they really want to promote the local product and the local players. So I'm not saying Messenger shouldn't be the opening day starter, but I am saying he probably won't be unless Fujinami still doesn't feel 100% healthy. But I do like the fact that Messenger wants it. And that definitely shows you he wants to be back with the Tigers and he wants to be the guy. And that's great. I mean, there's nothing bad about that at all. All right, next piece of news actually is kind of related to Kanemoto and Toritani. And I translated this on my website. I don't know if you saw it, but Kanemoto actually had meetings with some of the main players. And he said to Toritani, you, of all the players, are the one that needs the most change. Because if you don't change, this team is not changing. And he kind of tore into Toritani and he said, well, he didn't say this actually. The article, though, implied that the innings streak that Toritani is on, you know, I think he's at 609 games or something like that. And he's been very insistent over the years, especially under Wada's regime, to keep that innings streak alive. And the article was saying, hey, you know what, we need to put a stop to that. He can continue his Iron Man streak of playing consecutive games because I know how important that is. But who cares about the innings one? We need to develop younger players. We need to give him rest when he needs rest. Why are they so bent on this full innings nonsense? What do you think? Do you think Kanemoto did the right thing by pulling Toritani aside? And what do you think about Toritani's streak?
You know, streaks are meant to be broken. And, you know, that's the first thing. So to me, I'm like, you know, we need a hitter. You know, Toritani is, you know, a decent hitter. He's not great. He's not terrible. But he does, he's the captain of the team, right? And so with that, he's been in those positions where, you know, bottom of the ninth, we're like, oh man, do we need a hit? Bam. Toritani gets a hit. He makes timely hits, but he's not consistent, you know, where he's getting, you know, 180, 190, you know, hits a year. So yeah, maybe he needs to step up his game a little bit. And he's getting older, but he's got to step it up. He's the captain. He's got to lead this team. Like I've said before, with leaders are going to step up and Fukudome is going to step up. And you know, at times Fukudome did. So maybe he overshadowed Toritani, who's the so-called captain. But yeah, maybe Kanemoto's right. Put the foot in the butt and say, hey, step it up and see what happens.
Well, you know, I've never been a huge Toritani fan. And actually, I just started coming around on him towards the end of this past season. But I do agree with a lot of what Kanemoto said. If Toritani wants to be captain, he needs to be more vocal. He definitely needs to lead the team on the field and off. But, you know, Kanemoto didn't say anything about the full inning streak, but I even mentioned it several months ago. I said, you know what, just put an end to it, man. I mean, you know, we do need to make sure that we've got a shortstop in the future. And maybe it's time to move him out of shortstop anyways, because his defense this past year was pretty awful. Put him at third base, put him at first base, put him in left field. I'm not sure. But maybe it's time to get him out of shortstop. You know, not a lot of great shortstops stay at that position past the age of 35. And Toritani will be 35 next June. So I think it's time for a move. All right, our final piece of news is actually just a rumor that's been swirling around in cyberspace. It's something that excites some fans and actually upsets some fans. But there's talk of us trying to acquire Yuki Saito, and I'm not sure if you know who that is, but he was known as the Handkerchief Prince back in 2006 when he was in the Koshien Summer Tournament for high schoolers, and he actually won the tournament. He went up against Masahiro Tanaka head-to-head in the finals, and he outpitched Tanaka. As you know, Tanaka has gone on to great things, and Saito went to university, did all right things at Waseda University, got drafted by the Nippon Ham Fighters, and has been terrible. But there's talk anyways of the Tigers trading one of their farm catchers, Takashi Shimizu, who has been with the organization a while, trade him to the Fighters for Yuki Saito. And the Fighters apparently are in need of a catcher, and so they're talking about this trade and stuff. And so some people are excited, and they're saying, hey, maybe Saito needs a change of scenery, and maybe coming back to Koshien will bring back some of his magic. And others are saying, the guy has been terrible his whole pro career, which has been like several years already. Why are we going after these washed up guys all the time? Like, just forget about them. So, like, would you welcome a guy like that? Or, like, what's your take on that?
I'm not. That's the first time hearing that. I'd have to look him up. I have no. Actually, I'm jumping on the thing right now. Yuki Saito. So, ew. Boy, man. No. Just, I'm going based off stats alone. A 5.74 ERA last year. Doesn't sound like something we need on the team. 1-3 on the year. Good Lord. Yeah, that's the first time hearing it, but man. I mean, at one point, good Lord. No, I don't think so. I think we're good with, developing what we got, using your words here, develop what we got and maybe find a good free agent other than this guy, in my opinion, again, based off of stats that I'm looking at.
Okay, well, here's my take on it. I actually would welcome the trade if it actually is a possibility, and here's why. We haven't done anything with Shimizu either. And, you know, we lost Fuji, but we've got Umeno, we've got Tsuruoka, and as we're going to talk about in a bit, we drafted another catcher. So we've got some guys behind the dish, and we actually have other guys on the farm that potentially are about the same level as Shimizu as far as ability goes. And one of our development players, what's his name? Fumihito Haraguchi, recently took some batting tips from Kanemoto, and apparently he's got a really good bat, but just needs a lot of work. So he's another potential good catcher for the future as well. So I'm saying, you know what? We've got so many catchers that are not good enough, and Shimizu's one of them. Get rid of him, bring in Saito, stick him on the farm, and train him and work on him. And if he gets good, if he finds what he had back when he was in high school and even in college, call him up to the main team. And if not, what have we lost? We've lost Shimizu. Who cares? So I'd say give it a shot. You know, we could end up with a real gem. And if we don't, it's not a big loss either. All right, Wizzo, let's move on to the last segment of the show. And we're going to talk real briefly. You know, we're running short on time here. And I think, you know, people are going to start tuning us out if we go too long. But I want to talk about the draft because, you know, that is a big part of the off season. Ironically, it's not even off season yet. But let's just run down real quickly who we got in the draft. So our first pick was a guy named Shun Takayama. He's an outfielder out of Meiji University. The second guy we got was Seishiro Sakamoto, who is a catcher. He's also out of Meiji University. The third pick was Daichi Takeyasu, who is a pitcher, and he came from the Kumamoto Golden Larks. The fourth round pick was another pitcher named Atsushi Mochizuki. Sorry, pretty tough one to say. He is the lone high school draft pick of ours. He came out of Yokohama Sogakukan High School. Then we got in the fifth round a guy named Koyo Aoyagi, another pitcher. And he came out of Teikyo University. And finally, in the sixth round, we picked up a guy out of Asia University of Japan called Yutaro Itayama. And he's also an outfielder. So that's our six picks. Any initial thoughts on these guys, Wizzo?
I was able to actually watch YouTube videos on three of them. I think it's the first three. And I read a lot of good things. I should have bookmarked the English newspapers. I read a lot of good things about this Takayama kid. And, you know, of course, I'm reading what he's done in college. But, of course, this is the pros now. So we'll see what happens. But actually, just watching little video clips of the first three guys, pretty excited. You know, they're young. They're brand new. They got a lot of energy right now. Everybody's supporting them. And as long as they keep that motivation going, then they will be good. You know, the remaining three, I have not seen anything about them at all. And if it is, it's in Japanese and I can't read it all. So,
right.
You know, regardless, they're young. They got a lot of energy, I'm sure, and a lot of learning to do. So they can only be beneficial in the long run unless they're complete, you know, bombs, which right now on paper doesn't seem like they are or will be.
Right. So the great thing about Takayama is, he was also sought after by the Yakult Swallows, And the way the Japanese draft works is that any team can choose any player that they want in the first round, but then if two teams or more choose the same guy, then they kind of, it's kind of like a lottery system. Then they pull ballots out of a box, and one of the ballots says, you got him, and the others say, you don't got him, or whatever. So it was Kanemoto versus Manaka, who had to pull ballots on Takayama. First of all, what I was going to say is when two teams want the same guy, that says something about him. He's obviously not just, you know, somebody that the Hanshin Tigers scouts mistakenly thought was good. He's somebody that everybody or a lot of teams thought were good. So anyways, Manaka and Kanemoto pulled their ballots, and Manaka misunderstood his ballot. When he pulled it out and opened it, he saw the NPB logo, and he thought that meant that he won. So he, like, raised his hands in triumph, and Kanemoto just kind of, like, shook his head and went, ah, you know, here we go again. But I guess they did a video replay or whatever. They looked it over, and they said, hey, you know what, Manaka, you blew it. You actually didn't win him, and so the Tigers got him. So that's great. Takayama has got the college record for most career hits, which is great. So he's, like, a hitting machine. You know, he's got a pretty decent arm. He's got good speed. He's a left-handed bat, and it sounds like Kanemoto's going to try and turn him into a power hitter, which, hey, great. I mean, if we can get a little bit more power, maybe some doubles out of this guy, you know, and maybe double digits and home runs. Hey, good stuff. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if he's going to make the squad in 2016 as a regular or not, but yeah, things are looking great there. And moving on to the second round guy, Sakamoto, the catcher. He was at Meiji, and he also, in high school, played on the same team as Tetsuto Yamada, who is the star player of the Yakult Swallows right now. And Sakamoto apparently has got a lot of good things going for him. Apparently, he calls a great game for pitchers. He's really well-liked by every pitcher that he's caught for. He's got a pretty good throw to second base, apparently. And it sounds like, as long as Hanshin management gives him a proper chance, I mean, you know, everyone's talking about Umeno becoming the main catcher for the team for the future, but it could be Sakamoto before we know it, which is great. But it's just good to have two young catchers that have this kind of potential on the team. So I'm pretty excited about them. Those are the two guys that really caught my eye more than anybody else. But, you know, interestingly, in the past, if you look at, you know, the Tigers drafts in the past, their first pick overall, other than Fujinami, in the past decade, their first pick has never really panned out for them. And it's always the later picks that end up being surprisingly half decent. And so, you know, we may end up getting something good out of one of these other guys like Takeyasu, Mochizuki, Aoyagi, or Itayama. So let's just see what happens. But yeah, I'm just excited to see these young guys in the system, and hopefully they'll be able to do better than, you know, the guys that we've had in the past drafts. And let's just see if we can develop a really strong farm team that's going to eventually push for a really strong Tigers team in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, like I said, they're young and energetic right now. You know, everybody's supporting them. It's up to them. If they want to come out and be Henshin Tigers, they'll come out and they'll work out hard. They'll be there before practice. They'll be there after practice. They'll be watching video, whatever. I mean, it's up to them.
Hey, one more thing. Yeah, you just reminded me that Kanemoto, when he gave his kind of first words to Takayama, he said, hey, I look forward to working with you, but practice is going to be hard, man. You know, you better get ready to practice hard. So that's great. You know, I'm glad that Kanemoto's coming in with that attitude saying, you know, we're going to work our players and they're not going to be just goofing around on the field, you know. And it just seems like the attitude of a lot of Tigers in recent past has been, hey, I've made the Tigers squad. I've got it made. And then they just kind of relax and they lose a bit of their motivation or that drive. And so hopefully Kanemoto brings that back. I'm real excited.
Yeah, I am too. You know, as long as he balances it correctly, you know, if you're hard all the time, people are going to get tired and frustrated, and then we're back to the WADA situation where they don't like him. You know, but if he's able to balance it, you know, and hey, let's have fun now, and now we're strict, you know, in the right ways, I think we'll be good.
I think Kanemoto's a good joker, and, you know, he actually said, I think it was today I read in the papers that he said, you know what, if you guys start practicing like Takahiro Arai does, forget it, man. Just go to the batting cages. Just go to a batting center. Like, get out of here. You got to have a purpose to what you're doing in practice. You got to have a goal in mind when you come to practice. You know, this is what you're going to work on, or this is what you're going to improve. And so it's great to see that he's not just saying, hey, we're going to come here and we're going to, you know, practice you guys into the ground. But he's saying, we're going to have set goals for you every time you come to practice. And we're going to work you hard, but you're going to achieve those goals. That's the way you want to do things, man. So I'm really excited about that as well. I look forward to 2016 with the Hanshin Tigers. And on that note, Wizzo, you know, we're going to wrap today's show up. But we're going to come back at you guys a couple more times before the end of 2015. Hopefully, maybe the end of November and then the end of December or whatever. Just bringing you the news, you know, piece by piece and just talking about what's going on. Maybe talk about some rumors or some new signings. If you've got any questions for us or comments, you know, anytime you want to hit us up, the email address, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. The Twitter handles, T-Ray, you can find at the Hanshin Tiger. And Wizzo.
Mine is at Wizzo, so it's W-H-I-Z-O-H.
That's a Z for you Canadians out there. And if you want to hit us up on the Facebook page, we've got Hanshin Tigers English News. Just look it up, join the page, click like on the other page. Yeah, find us, talk to us, man. We'd love to hear from you guys in the off season. But we're going to wrap things up and we'll see you again real soon. Wizzo, it's been great talking to you. Hope you have a great month.
Yeah, likewise. Same to you.
All right. Go Tigers, go. Let's have a great off season. Peace out.